This is the 2025 football challenge, and for Sunday school, for his fifth class, our brother Chris Sales will be leading entitled Mission Accomplished, Joy Unleashed, The Importance of Rejoicing. Brother Chris.
Oh, we have handouts. Let you guys figure this out. You guys want to do this? It's afternoon. Good afternoon, everyone. Feels like it should be morning still, but everyone's feeling okay. Still got a little bit of fuel left in the tank. I hope so. So as was mentioned, our theme is Mission Accomplished, Joy Unleashed. So we've been talking about blueprints and battle plans. And obviously we've been building towards kind of a crescendo. And there was a sense in which we saw that in chapter 3, right? When the building actually really got underway and people were assigned their various tasks, and it would have been very exciting, but all the while in the background, there's this kind of noise, this undermining kind of, you know, oh, can we really do this? Is it going to be accomplished? And we saw that infiltrated right into their midst. But just a quick review, we mentioned it a little bit already, but after chapter 6, where we were last together yesterday, where there was a need to take up weapons, right? They had the blueprints there for the wall, but they had to take up their weapons. when that kind of came to, that was in chapter 6, let's just remind ourselves of that, okay? So in chapter 6, and the wall was finished right there in the middle of chapter 6 in 52 days. Okay? So initially in chapter 2, they set a watch. In chapter 4, they had to take up their weapons. And the enemy started to infiltrate into amongst their midst in chapter 5. Nehemiah had to set a good example of selflessness. And still in chapter 6, the opposition is there. And it's now right in, you know, right in their midst. Come into the temple and hide in the temple, right? And he's like, no, I got work to do. And we had that passage there in verse 15 of chapter 6, the work was finished. From there on, chapter 7, they're organizing the people to in Jerusalem. Jerusalem's the wall is now complete. Chapter 8, they're reading the law. Okay, so Ezra comes in. And they read in the law distinctly. Then they have this amazing communal prayer in chapter 9. So things are really on the up and up. And chapter 10, they were sealed. They ratify the covenant. Chapter 11, this amazing story where they draw lots to who's gonna get the privilege of risking their life to stay in Jerusalem overnight. All right, so a great enthusiasm. And then this comes to chapter 12. Where there's more names, they're registering the priests and the Levites, and this really is then the crescendo. In some ways, the exhortation and the this class were maybe a little bit out of order because we finished in chapter 13 in the exhortation. But really, this is the crescendo, and it's about joy, and that's what we'd like to talk about this morning, and how that applies to us today. Okay, so it was a time of singing. Had come, as it were. So this is the section we had read, and thanks for Micah reading that and really giving the emphasis. I mean, this is, you can just see it, and if you wanted a little bit of highlighting with, you know, what's some of the key words here. So they're dedicating the wall. So it's complete. They've taken some time now to organize things, and now this is the sort of the affirmation of everything that they've done. And they dedicate the wall, and they celebrate with gladness, thanksgiving, and singing. And, you know, all kinds of instruments and string instruments, you know, cymbals, harps, like this is a big deal. All right. And it goes on, verse 31, the leaders are there. They've got the Levites, and he's got these two large choirs. So we're going to see that they actually encircle the walls. Like this was well thought out and planned. One went to the right hand of the wall toward the refuse gate.
And the other Thanksgiving choir went the opposite way. So can you visualize that? This was amazing. The walls done, they all felt just so encouraged by the work that they had accomplished with God's help, obviously. And so there's this just rejoicing together. And that's what we're gonna kind of focus on. And they, you know, they planned it, so they walked around the wall. And so as the people are in the city, the choir would have been singing and just walking around them, and it would have been echoing through the city. Just, it's really quite amazing. And then we didn't get to there, but the whole chapter is about this, really, in this really climax of what they'd done. So they offered sacrifices, they rejoiced with great joy, just in case you're not getting the point, right? Men, women, children, they rejoiced, and so much so that like it was echoing across the land. And who would have been hearing that echoing noise? You know, would have been the enemies that had earlier, like a couple of months earlier, had said, are they going to be able to build this wall out of nothing? It's all ruin. It's all rubbish. And look, this little building they got, like a fox goes on, it's just going to fall down. And now it's in a city with gates and bars, and people are inhabiting it, and this joy and this rejoicing. So it's really kind of an appropriate way maybe for us to just contemplate in microcosm, maybe even just like this weekend, and the joy and the rejoicing of being together, and you know, people from all kinds of different places come, and it's really been an example of that. You've been staying out of people's homes, all kinds of people chipping in and providing, and it's a time for rejoicing. So what we're going to do as sort of our intro thing is we are going to sing this song. Now, I'm hoping some of you will know it. I've got it recorded here. How many people know this song? It's the Jehoshaphat Music, Dan Osborne song. They actually had a whole entire youth conference on Nehemiah. That would have been a memorable one. Okay? So I'll see how this works. Hopefully it is recorded and sung by the choir at Manitoulin. But let's all stand and sing as well and kind of get into the feeling of Nehemiah and the group. Hopefully no technical difficulties today. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Thanks for that. That was great. Okay.
So,
in some ways, that is a bit of a climax for us as well. So, from here on, we got a couple of slides to show the importance of praise and worship. We will have some opportunity to work on an action plan a little earlier than normal. And then the second half of our class this morning, we are going to have some discussion, just kind of where you are. We'll see how this works, and we'll see how that goes, to kind of bring it all together, this concept of blueprints and battle plans simultaneously. So a lot of interaction from you this morning, I thought that might be needful just at this end of the weekend. Okay, so you can make some notes or whatever you like here. Hopefully you got that handout if you want to just make some notes on the back of that. This is a theme, and I'm not an expert on this because I'm not musically inclined whatsoever, but I love music, I love listening to it, and I love participating as I can. But this is something I know I probably, it's not my first reaction to this, is like to sit down and write music or to rejoice in that way. But it's there in scripture everywhere. So let's turn this one up. You want to see this one in your Bible, and you might want to do some highlighting as you see fit. So this is a well-known passage, Romans chapter 12. We know Romans, Paul has been very, it's a very logical, very, you know, doctrinally intense book. And he's not at the end, but he's coming there. And just look at what he's saying. This is a bit of a summary exhortation. In Romans 12, verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. So be sincere in our love. No feigned love, no pretended love. Abhor what is evil. So cast away what's evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference one to another. I mean, these are big principles. Right? This is about life in the ecclesia, life in our youth groups, all these things. Thinking of others before ourselves. Don't lag in diligence. I mean, we can think of Nehemiah and the group working on the wall. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. So in the midst of all these things we do, service, helping, thinking of others, in the middle of all that needs to be rejoicing. What's that look like? What should that look like in our ecclesias? Patient in tribulation and continuing steadfast in prayer. So it might be one of those lists of things. And for me, at this moment, thinking about Nehemiah 12, rejoicing in hope kind of jumped out. You know, distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality, all these things. This is life in the truth. This is what we should be doing. You know, Romans 12, 9 to 13. I mean, that's like what we should be about. That's how people should know us as Christadelphians, as part of the family of God. And part of that should be rejoicing. Ephesians 5, you don't turn all these up, but the Romans one I thought was key. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. All right, this should be a part of, joy should be a part of who we are as believers. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. This that's something it's in our hearts. It needs to be sincere and honest, but what's that going to look like? Well, what does that look like in CYC? What does that look like in, you know, Sunday school, in our homes? How do we do this? It's part of admonishing and teaching and wisdom. It's not just like an add-on. It's not just like, well, if you get time. Somehow this should be part of who we are, the importance of praise and worship. James chapter 5, and James, so practical. I mean, James is an epistle of practicality. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing hymns. Sing psalms. This should be a part of it should be a natural response for us. This one might be worth looking up.
Hebrews chapter 2. This might be I was going to do this kind of as a quiz, but we'll just cut to the chase here.
Hebrews 2,
verse 12.
I should have done it as a quiz. All right. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. Okay, so we need to take on board that somehow. It's like who's speaking here was going to be my question. And now that you got Hebrews 2 open, like, what's Hebrews 2 all about? What is it trying to show? Who's the central figure? in Hebrews? It's Jesus, right?
And here, this is a quote. Hebrews 2 verse 12 is quoting, okay, but it's proving that Jesus is in our, we're part of his family, right? We're part of his brethren. We're brethren in Christ. And so this is a quote of the Messiah. I will declare your name, speaking to God, unto my brethren. In the midst of the ecclesia will I sing praise unto you. So
Jesus is going to sing praise. Is musically joy and rejoicing and singing is what Jesus has and will do, which is just, again, sort of next level. Okay, so that's a very brief summary of why praise and worship is important in our services. So this is the brainstorming part. Do we have the mic? All right. Yeah. There's going to be an opportunity to share today. Oh, I think Mike's going to get it. So this is our little symbol of brainstorming. So coming right out of Nehemiah chapter 12. This is an open question. How can we better express joy and rejoicing in our community? Josh up here. Or how to hold the mic. There we go.
Stand up. Yep, good. I would say one thing I found helpful is maybe saying gratitudes with someone or writing them down. Because if you're being mindful of writing them down or saying them, it helps to express better what you're grateful for, especially whenever you recognize it.
Okay. So just demonstrating that you should be open about that, thanking people and being rich. You've had opportunity this weekend to show some gratitude and thanks to people's homes you've lived in. All right. Other suggestions. How can we do this better? Just kind of elevate joy and rejoicing in our community. This is not a day to be shy and not want to participate, because there's going to be lots of it today. So don't let me down. This one may be a bit trickier. All right. Pass that along to Matthew.
Yeah, I think one thing going off Colossians verse we just looked at, like how Paul says teaching and admonishing, you know, spiritual songs, and like the word for admonish there is like can be exhort. So like seeing, you know, like the youth songs, like seeing them like as, so it's like kind of like maybe them like holding them of like more significance, because it's like, you know, maybe music nowadays is just kind of like background music, like you put something on while you're like doing the chores. But it's like, you know, Paul is here suggesting that like these songs, like you take them in and you digest them, and like you get blessings and spiritual upliftment from them.
All right. A bit more intentionality about music and how powerful it can be. No one wants to touch the mic. Mic turn off. All right. Thanks for that. Other thoughts? What can we do to? I might have some other things here. We'll do the negative one in a minute. So this is positive. How can we positively use music and joy and rejoicing, praise and worship in our community? Thoughts?
Yep.
So I know that in terms of singing and choir, and what that does is it helps release a hormone called oxytocin, and that's a bonding chemical. So it helps to increase the bonds between those and those you are singing with. So you actually grow closer as a community if you sing together in a group. So that helps to build up the ecclesia as well. Just a little fun fact.
Yeah, that's great. So yeah, is there an opportunity to get involved in the choir? As an opportunity to witness, have your choir perform, and like Matthew said, that's it's not just entertainment, it's instructional. So, you know, I don't know where you are, but we've got a choir, and like they put the words up there, so even the audience, even though they're not singing, they're seeing the words and they're taking those words in, because it's instructional, they're actually learning. So there's an opportunity, and not only that, but you grow closer through that experience of being in a choir. The whole concept of a choir is another example of building. Like these guys were building the wall, all right? And then they're together singing in a choir, and it's all planned and orchestrated. It was a great teachable moment. So yeah, thanks for that. It's actually some benefit to you spiritually and physically. There's all kinds of benefits to it. Great. So choirs, we should have more choirs in our community. Jake.
Well, when you're singing like hymns and things like that, don't like sing with the joy of an 8-year-old. Like sing for the joy of singing, not like listening to other people hit the wrong notes, but sing just for the joy of it.
Thanks, Jake. Yeah, we certainly had experience in other cultures, like Kenya, where that's what they do. We might feel uncomfortable, and Martha and I maybe did it the first couple of times, but it's just infectious. And they have a hymn book where they have the English on one side and the Swahili on the other. And it doesn't matter which one they sing, but it never sounds like the way we sing those same hymns. It's like they just take it next level. And I think to Jake's point, we can maybe learn from that. There's joy, like they love singing and they love being together. And maybe we need to just loosen up a little bit with respect to our participation in these hymns. Yeah, thanks for that, great point. Couple more maybe before we, yep.
Just thinking is that, it's the only thing in our community that we all do together at the same time, because in our discussion groups, our classes, all those things, we're collectively there participating. But singing is the only thing that you've got everyone in the room singing the same words, and they're all doing the exact same thing at the same time. The bonding thing, because everybody's doing the same thing, and we're all praising God collectively.
Thank you. Okay. So let's open up a little bit as well, because celebration and singing, the world does us. Think about the influence of music. The world has captured that. So there is, whether it's in entertainment, in movies, whether it's in advertising, with jingles or whatever it is that stick in your head, the world has captured this because they know how influential it can be. So maybe we should talk a little bit about whether we struggle with these kinds of things, and maybe how we can face that. So, the other side of this, anyone want to comment on that? I think the next thing is we're leaving the action plan. So this is, we'll come back to this later. Any comments on that? Thank you.
Music, like from the world, it's kind of difficult because it's playing in restaurants, it's playing everywhere. And the scary thing about it is that, like, even like if it seems like it's fine, it like secretly indoctrinates you with like their ideas. And like the same thing happens with our music, which is why I feel like you should focus, like we should all try to focus on listening to godly music rather than music of the world.
Yeah, excellent point. So yeah, there's times where we can't help it because we're in the mall or we're in a restaurant or wherever we are, and it's just playing. But when you do have a choice, let's make good choices. I think that's what you're saying. Excellent point. Oh, I'll come back for you. All right, Micah.
Yeah, going off a bit of that, like the choice of music into and the language that it has sometimes in it, sometimes we can just have the mindset that, we're just listening to it. But no matter what, if you're listening to it, it will always secretly find its way into your vocabulary. And we know that most of the music in the world doesn't have some bad choice language in it, and it will always find that way to creep into your vocabulary, not if you're saying it, but maybe if you're just repeating the good phrase or like the catchy phrase in your head again and again and again. It's just that vocabulary that the world uses that we shouldn't, and it's just, we can't use that mindset of just listening. Well, won't affect us at all.
Right, it's some sort of passive thing. Mm-hmm. Yep, excellent. Okay, and just on that, you guys are in a good place in terms of good use of technology. And the abundance of good Christadelphian music. Like, that was not a thing when I was your age, Like, the best we could do is make music. And, that was, but you guys have really no excuse not to be filling your mind, the space, when you are just doing chores or whatever, or driving, with good, solid, the lyrics are solid, and, the music is good enough that it's not good enough, it's excellent. But what I meant is it's also going to be retained in your memory. Like it's good, catchy, and also positive lyrics. So do it.
And going off of Lucas's, actually, and Micah's point, with like how we're like affected by it subconsciously, is actually it's also a manipulation tactic that is used by different groups. I believe the Nazis used that, using song, repeated music, to actually affect the way that you think. And it's actually something that, yeah, you don't even realize it, but eventually you start to think, of course, this is fact because I'm saying it all the time, I'm hearing it all the time, everyone else is saying it, and so you're constantly affected by it without even realizing it. And so, you know, to Matthew's point, whenever you're doing chores, when you're doing those things, if you are subconsciously listening to Christadelphian music, music that is of, you know, of proper doctrine, you're you know, subconsciously affected to where you're constantly thinking about those verses that it comes from, where, you know, that mindset, as opposed to a lot of them, where you get the moral dilemma of, like, you know, these other things that hint at a lot of, you know, a promiscuous lifestyle, a lot different than what we say is right. So, like, you know, we easily can say on a Sunday morning, yeah, this is wrong, that's wrong. But then it's like, if we're constantly listening to it in the music that we have, you know, more often than once a week, more often than twice a week, it's we are, you know, we're very much affected by it, and we don't even realize it.
Make good choices. All right, last comment here, Josiah.
I just wanted to mention that the majority of our learning tends to be subconscious, and I find that even if you're just driving to work and typically we just throw the radio on, that's still music that isn't exactly uplifting you. Helping you, so any chance that you can just throw on some music, some biblical music of some kind, it'll help you more than just throwing on the radio.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. All right, thanks for that. Excellent, excellent. Okay, so what we're going to do, this is kind of now in the whatever time we have left, just kind of stepping back and seeing a summary of the weekend. So our overall theme, blueprints and battle plans, strengthening what's broken while resisting what threatens, is kind of what we've been building off of. And this was our key verse in Nehemiah chapter 4. And the imagery of a battle that goes on is throughout Scripture, right? From Genesis chapter 3 right through to the end of Revelation until it's all done, there's a battle going on. So you've got like the armor of God. So in one hand they worked at construction, the other hand they held a weapon. So what I'd like to do is in the few minutes that we have left, you're going to discuss together what this looks like today. Well, first of all, you're going to say, okay, is this just a Nehemiah thing? Or where else, what other examples do we have in Scripture of men and women who were trying to do something positive while at the same time resisting the negative? So as it were, like they had the working tool in one hand and the sword in the other. So where else in Scripture? And also what that might look like today. So here might be an example. So Elijah, think of the work of Elijah, right? So there he is trying to rebuild the spirituality of Israel. He's building up the altar, right, of God, and he's there battling the prophets of Baal. So he's got his altar that he's literally built, and he's in conflict with them. And he actually had to, well, he killed a bunch of them with a sword, so he literally had a sword as well. So Nehemiah and Elijah would kind of have this connection. So rebuilding true worship while facing hostility. What that might mean, like in a modern example, here's just one of, hopefully you're going to come up with lots more. You know, you're trying to build yourself up in prayer and reading and trusting in God, united fellowship, you know, together, whether you think your CYC, your youth group, your Sunday school, your ecclesia, whatever. But we're battling, and this came up yesterday, you know, the whole woke movement and modern thinking. You face skepticism, cynicism, unanswered prayer. So maybe you're like, why isn't God working in my life? And the pull of secular thinking. So this is the kind of battle we face. Like Nehemiah's people mocked by enemies, believers, they're often ridiculed for their faith, yet called to keep building their spiritual walls. So that's kind of what I want you to do. So every Christadelphian day is called to build something for God, whether it's our family, our faith, our character, our community. You can think of yourself personally, or just expand that out to however you want it to go. But simultaneously, we're battling opposition. So it may be totally external, pressure from the outside. It might be some internal, struggling with sin ourselves, fear, doubt, whatever it might be. So hopefully, at this stage in the weekend, you're starting to think about what this looks like in your life. So basically, you're all set up here. You can either turn around and talk to the person beside you. You can just stay in your own row there and talk in groups, whatever. So two things. What other biblical examples are there of this principle, building for God while battling the enemy? So think of it like Elijah and Nehemiah and just go from there. And then secondly, it would be good if in amongst your group, some of you could give a personal testimony of what that looked like in your own life. Or what it might look like if you haven't had that experience. But testimony is powerful. Some might say, I went through exactly this. This was happening and that was happening and so on. So share amongst yourself in small groups. And you've got 7 minutes. Go. That got your attention. I don't know, it took me about an hour to make it, but it was worth it. Thank you. It'd be Acts 4 or 5. It'd be in that. It's early on. Here we go. One more minute. Last minute. That was excellent. So we're not obviously going to have time for everyone. I'd love to have had time for everyone to share, but we have maybe 5 minutes. So like in 30 seconds or less, who would like to give a brief summary of what they talked about quickly, number one, into a biblical example. You don't have to elaborate on that too much, and some sort of personal modern day example or testimony. Who wants to lead this off? Logan.
I think one thing that me and my buddy talked about was just how hard it can be to come off of a weekend like this and to apply everything that we talk about, because here it feels really good when you've got 200 people in the hall and you can hear everybody singing. It's like awesome, like the most amazing thing. And then you go home and you're running on little sleep, you're tired, you're by yourself again, and it gets hard. So just being sure to keep in touch with people and to keep the circle as big as you can when you are home and by yourself when it gets hard, and don't let it sneak up on you.
Okay. And that's somewhat of the intention of the, you know, little half page handout. Have them handy somewhere, and don't try and do a whole bunch like, oh, all these amazing things, I'm gonna like completely revolutionize. No, start small, start like make one change, and that can lead to something else. It's like that mustard seed, right? You plant it and it can grow. So that's a great point. Make some changes. Don't try to do too much all at once, but small steps, but do something. Do something. Make some significant change.
Me and the person I was talking to, we kind of thought that instead of battling people, we're more battling like principles and like ideas that are constantly coming from the world and constantly trying to pull us down. So like, while also trying to like build ourselves up to make sure that we don't fall victim to them.
Okay. I be aware of the, who the true enemy is. Yep.
Did I see a hand here? Some.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Okay, we'll get back there.
Yeah, me and my buddies talked about like Joseph, a good example of being in the world but not of it. And then I talked about like one time in like sixth grade for social studies class, we were doing like religions week. And like one of the days was Confucianism and we had to bow down to our teacher. And I like said no and I got in like big trouble. But like.
Did they throw you in the fire furnace?
I almost. Yeah. Almost. Yeah. In school detention, pretty much. Same thing. But it was just like that challenge of not conforming. But that was like the world trying to. Just a little test.
Yeah, and like a little thing goes, oh, what's the big deal? You know, it's just pretend, but it's a principle. Yeah, that's a great example.
Our group. Micah said Joseph was able to kind of be an example to those around him in prison, and Esther was able to be an example to her maidens who saw her habit, the habit builds. Rub off on other people. Specific type.
Mm-hmm. Excellent, thank you. Habits, that's a good word. Habits, things we just do, people start to notice and recognize. Yep. We'll go up the front there, down here in the corner. We'll get up to Simon next.
So in terms of like cool examples, I thought David was a good example. It might be a bit iffy, but he was, you know, building up a following while he was running around Israel and later down to the where the Philistines lived. He was then accruing a following the whole time, trying to, you know, maintain the faith while being chased by Saul across the whole of the nation, who was out for his death. I don't know if that relates too much, but I thought it was interesting.
Absolutely.
And then Jesus himself is a pretty good example. He was also building up like believers, trying to express who he was and share the faith with others while being attacked first with words, then later crucified by like the Pharisees and others. So you have that same kind of war of words going on that we kind of have now.
Well, the biblical example I thought of was of Daniel when he's praying at his window, trying to do this three times a day, and yet there's people watching him and trying to get him in trouble and trying to kill him just because he's trying to build a relationship with God. And then maybe a personal relation to that is when maybe you're just trying to pray for your lunch in a public place and someone's trying to talk to you while you're trying to pray. So maybe the battle plan against that is to say, hey, I'm going to pray for lunch. Like, do you want to pray with me? Or something like that to encourage them.
Yeah. Be very intentional about it. Thanks. Thanks, Simon. Okay. I think I heard a bell. So this is your last action plan for the weekend. I hope you found this helpful. And I hope going forward that this is something you do in any situation where you like have a class, an exhortation or a Bible class or whatever, CYC class. In your mind, you should be saying, okay, well, what's my takeaway from this? Like, what is my action plan? How am I going to put into practice what I just learned? Okay? So this one that relates to our topic today, how can I give praise and worship to Yahweh? Do I need to remove any worldly celebrations from my life? So that's the both sides of that coin. How can I increase my expression of joy to God for all that he has done for me? And am I giving too much of, you know, too much bandwidth of my time and mind to other things that are taking away from that and maybe reducing that joy that I feel? And then again, the similar sort of thing. What's one thing that I do to increase the joy expressed in my life? Just think of one thing. I'm going to not have the radio on my commute to work or school. I'm going to be intentional about what I listen to. That could be that one thing that could be revolutionary for you. And then the other kind of half of today's class, that's the big overarching one, as Simon was just alluding to, our blueprint and our battle plan, both of those. So what am I going to do to increase my understanding of God and His Word and who Jesus is and how I can be more like Him in a positive way, while at the same time being defensive against the things that are detracting from that plan? And I really need to go to battle. And like's been mentioned, it's a battle probably mostly for us. It's an intellectual one, right? It's about philosophies and ideas and concepts that are opposed to what we know to be true. So I think we've run out of time. Oh, right on the bell. So sorry to get more chance to talk, but please do this. Talk over lunch, whatever. Have this as a focus going forward and build each other up and strengthen each other in these last days as battle buddies, because everyone in here is working together for the same thing. So thanks for your great attention and for your great input.